SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 162 XM 207 Sports Zone 999 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website stevebick.com. And it's a broken record. It just glorious and unbelievable every day. And what an interesting weekend we had. Certainly after we left you Friday at Far Hills, I awaited Tina's arrival in anticipation of Saturday's action, and it was absolutely just perfect from every standpoint. I mean, well, for everybody, I take that back. There's at least one proviso, right? Harry Beswick, who broke his collarbone, but other than that, man, poor Harry. That was tough. With his, was that in the maiden? I think it was in the. I think it was actually in the. Might have been in the. Was it the Foxbrook? Anyway, we'll get to it. Spectacular day at Far Hills, and you know, while things were going on in the Jersey countryside, over at Keeneland and at Belmont, Santa Anita, we had tons of action. Friday night, Remington, might talk to Dale Day today, if not today, tomorrow. But they had what looked to be a terrific night in Oklahoma City as well for the Oklahoma Classics card. And the winners, for the most part, spread around. Joe Ofalter, I think, had the best day from a training standpoint, night. But there were so many kind of fascinating results. Hard not to start. Well, it's a triple dead heat. Snap decision. I'm starting with snap decision. I know that, you know, you got to indulge the predilection for the jump set after the biggest day of the calendar for the steeplechase community, and particularly for snap decision, who has been a little star-crossed and a little unlucky. And not only does he win this Grand National and, I mean, seemingly lock up an elusive Eclipse Award. I mean, he's been a finalist, what, 3 years in a row? We'll talk to Jack Fisher. And this was as thrilling, for people who, you know, people say some funny things. Are those thoroughbreds? Yes. especially Snap Decision, who is a Phipps bred, hard spun gelding, 10 years old. There were four 10-year-olds in this, by the way. And two of the 10-year-olds, the Irish Invader, Galvin, for Gordon Elliott. And, he, for all the conversation we had about it not being his kind of ground, he was very good. And what was fascinating about Snap Decision's win, I can't wait to talk to Jack. He basically, you know, was sparring the entire way with the longest shot, Mark Beecher's Frontline Citizen. And at one point, Graham Waters just couldn't wait any longer, and he kind of came forward and it took control, only to then be passed again and headed, and then coming up the hill where, you know, for a little bit it looked like he was, you know, he was going to kind of romp on to victory, only to be engulfed by not just Galvin, but also by High Definition, 17-1. Leslie Young came calling, and there were some head exchanges, but in the final, call it, gosh, I mean, 50 yards, I put up the little video. It's a little tough to tell because you're kind of looking downhill, but it, in the final yards, you could see him extending his head and neck. It was unbelievable. And gets the decision. They called it two necks on the chart. Snap decision. And went off as the second choice. And, you know, we try to urge people to, you know, not be shy about betting, because this is, you know, this, it's more formful than people want to appreciate. You know, yes, there's the occasional, you know, there is the occasional mayhem, but to get just under 3-1 on snap decision in here, that was crazy. It was nuts. He was 3-1 most of the way in the betting. And then Galvin took the late punches to end up a little under 5-2. Jimmy P was third choice at 5-1. He never really offered much. He kind of just meandered about. But this was this was a, and I don't want to say it was the, you know, the thrilling end. It was a thrilling end to the chase races. But then of course the Gray Wizard is going to win the 2 mile. John Forbes, 40 minutes later. And pay $340. So the for those that, you know, we're urging, we'll get to the Perryville in a minute. But you know, we were urging people, you know, don't avoid the cross country pick five because of the two races at Far Hills. And sure enough, Snap Decision and Gray Wizard were all you needed to use. It wasn't open and shut. Obviously, but that would have gotten you through, and then you know you had to use one of the other Chads in the Athenia, and then you had Emery the favorite in the Raven Run. The horse that made the cross country pick five pay $2,400. Brunaccini, Matt Sims, yeah. Matt Sims, the 30-ish, must be 30 now, must be 30-something, son of Phil Sims. For those of you that remember Ha-Cha-Cha, and what was the other one? What was it? Don't Tell Sophia, I think. Don't Tell Sophia, I think, Phil Sims, too, right? Ha-Cha-Cha is the one that, you know, that we think of first, but... You know, Matt grew up as his father's assistant. Saddled the first horse. He's now had basically two calendar years training. And Matt Sims, I think the first horse he ever, if I remember, the first horse he ever set out won. And he's only had 100 and something starters and gets his first graded stake win. And I didn't even realize until the race that he had drawn in. I mean, we were, you know, one thing we have to work on for next year with Guy Torsiglieri, and we mentioned this, that it was very tough on the Wi-Fi signal. Some years it's been better. This year it was not. It was very tough to get bets in, and to, you know, to navigate a little bit. So they'll have to work. I guess Verizon had an outage too, on top of everything else, apparently, on the Eastern Seaboard. So anyway, I didn't even realize Brunaccini had drawn in, and just a third career start. Got a terrific. You want to talk about one of the weekend's fascinating stories. Matt Sims and Brunaccini's one of them, but Luan Machado, of course. And Machado, who's been in the headlines lately. Machado, you know, with just a very clean, polished ride, keeping Brunaccini out in the open, wearing the 14 saddle cloth. And that actually was the difference, because Bookham Dano ended up having to kind of try to thread the needle, and it probably cost him. Although, look, this was a stake record. It's not like Brunaccini didn't really run. 99 buyer. And, you know, for people who are saying, how could this horse possibly win? Well, from a sheet perspective, you know, had two races, the teens, and then got into the single, you know, the high single digits. Either, I can't remember, a 7 or a 9, and, you know, really needed to step forward again. And he did. He absolutely did. So Matt Sims, first graded stake win, first stake win, period. And it's a great story. We'll talk to Matt in about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes after we get through the opening salvo of the weekend. But that was what that absolutely made the cross country sing. So congratulations to those that hit it. You got 2,400. Yeah, it deserved every bit of it, considering the rest of it was completely, well, you know, I suppose Chad's horse, and I used Chad's horse. I used 5 in that Athenia, you know, kind of for just that reason. But Brunaccini, 28-1, paid 58-16. Bookham Dano and Irad at 3-5, a little over 3-5, second. And I can tell you, maybe we'll do this with you know, later in the week with when we do the recap with Jeff Franklin. And I could even put up the sheet to show you the comparison. But I used a little bit underneath. I used Love Me Tender, the Trombetta, who had a very, actually, a similar kind of set of PPs and figs as the winner. And I was making that was exactly the concept that I was employing with Love Me Tender and putting him in underneath. You know, that this was a horse that had only started twice. And in fact, here, I'm looking at it. I ran a 9 in the debut at Colonial and came back in that allowance win, was 2 for 2 with a 5. Brunaccini ran a 9 in his Ellis Park debut, and then at Churchill in that allowance when, you know, you had that throw a blanket over him finish, that ran a 7 and a quarter. So that, not too dissimilar. Because I know people are like, how can this horse possibly win? The horses, it's lightly raced horses. You had a bunch of horses that were making their third start in here. Knightsbridge was making a third start. So anyway, very pleased for Phil Sims and Matt, and we'll get Matt's I'm sure, well, not just happy recap, because apparently, from what I can tell, it was a tear fest and yeah, it was an emotional scenario at Keeneland on Saturday. And then for Machado, not only does he I'm not calling it Machado's revenge by any sense, but he won, I think, 4 races over the weekend, and so obviously he's riding with, you know, renewed purpose after the inexcusable embarrassment of the misjudged finish and you know, mistaking the first line for the finish the other day, Wednesday. And Machado came back and won the Dowager yesterday too, on Chop Chop for Brad Cox. Brad talked about Chop Chop with us the other day. And one thing I did not get to, because it happened after we were off the air, Machado with, to be honest, that is a very light penalty that he ended up receiving. I mean, somebody was calling for 6 months on a Derby Trail, and I scoffed at that. I thought, you know, 6 months a little heavy-handed. But I thought 2 weeks to 2 to 4 weeks seemed like it was in the offing. I get it. Okay, it's a mistake. Yeah, I get it. But 3 days and the meager fine? A little. I thought that was that's more surprising than, you know, than him misjudging. I was, you know, I didn't think that was I didn't think that was an appropriate level of. In fact, Mig and I were talking. Mig, we'll talk to Mig today late at 11. Actually, Mig can't make 10, so we'll talk to him at 11. Anyway, so we'll get his take. And you know, I do want to reach out to. We have to talk to Rajiv this week. Rajiv had his first ride back yesterday after the extended health break, and well, not, you know, not only has he gotten healthy, he also moved into the broadcast booth and was very good. He's a lot of fun in the Saratoga Live, America's Day at the Races broadcast booth. But he rode, got his first mount in yesterday, and he's going to be back riding. You know, he's got to work himself into riding shape, as jocks will tell you. You're off for that kind of time. You know, you don't just immediately. You're not just, you know, you might be fit. You're not necessarily riding fit, you know, to ride 3, 4, 5, 6 mounts a day. In addition to what we've already touched on, the Grand National win and also the Grey Wizard. I should mention, by the way, I tried to spread it out for people. I gave the Thoroughgraph sheets for the John Forbes after we got off the air a little later in the afternoon on Friday. And thanks to Anthony at Thoroughgraph for providing, because a horse ended up jumping out of the sheets as a use. And it was Tom Morley's Curbstone. Go to my Twitter thread, and you'll see it. And I ended up including Curbstone, and it made for a $73 exacta with 70 cents on the dollar Grey Wizard. But you'll see it right on the sheet. It's very clear that Curbstone was competitive in here, at the very least underneath. I tell you who was a disappointment in here was California Frolic did not run. Yeah, I used Curbstone, Dean Martini, the Addison Pour, and California Frolic were the three I hooked up with Grey Wizard. So at 60 to 1, and I saw Morley early in the day. Morley, he was very pleased. He'd never been out there, and he was walking around a little wide-eyed. Actually, he thought, I said, what do you think? He said, this is fabulous, which is everybody's impression. Everybody that turns up. Adam Colonnais, as I told you, Adam was there with the photography, and he was tickled. He was like, this is great. He had never been to one. Everybody that comes is. You know, it's infectious. Well, and you want to talk about a day and a weekend. And frankly, you want to talk about a stretch of 2 months. It's unbelievable. Every day is more gorgeous than the previous. We went to the, I'll slip this in too. We went to the Birds Giants game yesterday. We made it. As Tina and I laughed driving home this last night. We pack a lot into these weekends. Had the opportunity to go to the, because we can't seem to get the Eagle schedule hasn't been conducive to go see them at the link this year. So I said, wait a minute, they're at Giant Stadium on MetLife on the day after Far Hills. So we went, first time at MetLife, and it was spectacular. It's really nice. It's actually a lot like the link. So we had fun. We had a really got there fairly early, wanted to see the place, and really enjoyed ourselves. And I'll thank the individual that got us access, and I'll leave it at that. Incredibly appreciative. We had the really had a nice time. Just nice to see Saquon Barkley back in East Rutherford. Sorry, folks. Sorry, Giant fans. the rest of the, and I'm sure we'll talk with Richie too, because Rich was on hand, as I said, he and Acacia and Joe Clancy handling the broadcast duties. But the winds got spread around, that which is really nice. The variety of connections. Clifton Down, a runoff winner of the Harry Harris, with Jamie Bargery for Leslie Young and Runny Moore. So these were all 4-year-olds. And feels like that's a nice group going forward for next year. Our friend Patrick Lewis, in fact, Patrick ran second in both of the early races. Hidden Path, that nice 4-year-old that we talked about for the Lonesome Glory, right? Yeah. This is a nice jumper. This horse is going to be a nice one. And he was a good second in here, chasing Clifton Down home. And Manella Juke and Moonshine Time. And Moonshine Time looked like a winner for a little bit. And then Manella Juke, who was kind of hanging around the whole way. This was in the McDynamo Maiden Sweepstake. This is for Mrs. Johnston. Jack, we'll talk to Jack Fisher about this one. This is Irish 4-year-old. That was the initial McDynamo stake. Gold Charm for Cyril Murphy and Mr. Naylor. Always nice for Mr. Naylor to win. And Gold Charm, the 5-year-old mare. This was the mare group. In the Foxbrook, that was the PPAC. In the Foxbrook, you had Stephen Mulqueen for Kerry Bryan. Going Country, Going Country was probably in terms of prices, I think, it was the longest price of the day, paid $18. And Aban ran fine, just was a little late on the scene under Bernie Dalton. Because otherwise, there was a chance for Eclipse, who, of course, campaigns the Grey Wizard. But Going Country wins the Foxbrook. Kerry was delighted. And then came Snap Decision and the Grey Wizard. And there was your Far Hills action. They did about $500,000 in handle and a nice advance, a double, what they did last year. And a guy, I talked to a guy yesterday, he was happy. We got to get people accustomed to, don't be shy about betting on the jumps. It's very formful. A few other notes. They had that the carryover situation is infectious. There's another Thursday carryover at Aqueduct. It's the craziest thing. Every Sunday card carries over. So Thursday at Aqueduct, and then Friday, another Pick 6 carryover at Santa Anita. And this, the return to the $2 Pick 6, is a home run. So look forward to those at the end of the week. A couple of other before we reach out for Matt and to celebrate his big win. Got a few other news and notes. I'll save the one thing we didn't talk about Friday was that you had all the Florida breeders and owners races at Gulfstream, and we got to get those in, and I got to reach for Lauren Richards, who's at that Dresden Row, won again, won another stake, the Ontario Derby. Mandela with Sumter, right, in the Lure that we talked about Friday or Thursday. And Motion, Graham with in the Swing Time, Queen of the Mud. That goes back to Monday. I should probably get a hold of Graham, right? I think we owe him a call, don't we? Graham was on that list. We've got Breeders' Cup news we got to get to, and we'll work in as the morning unfolds. It's pre-entry day, of course, and then on Wednesday they'll announce the pre-entries. Pecking order. Hope everybody, I mean, not everybody that wants to get in is going to get in, but, you know, we hope everybody, hope it works out as best it can. Got plenty of work tab news. There's also a couple of horses that are going to bypass, and not surprisingly, Michael W. McCarthy, no Sweet Azteca in the sprint. She's going to get a freshening. So, Ways and Means, I mean, Chad really seems, Ways and Means becomes very prominent in the filly and mare sprint. And I saw that Steve Anderson wrote that Stronghold is going to bypass, Phil's going to bypass the Dirt Mile with Stronghold and concentrate on his four-year-old year. So everybody that wants four-year-old seasons, there you go. Should mention Phasig fall sale today through Thursday, right? 4 days? Yeah, I think it's 4 days. Keep an eye on that. I heard from our man Marty Shapiro. Marty was working the barns, paddocks, and we'll be monitoring that this week. Sad news from Chestertown as Mary Broman passed away. Thoughts to Chet and the family. 88, and apparently, I guess midweek. But then I didn't see the news. I think there was kind of a press release over the weekend. So thoughts to the Bromans, and you know, they had so much success. And I tell you, one of the, speaking of thinking of Del Mar, when Bar of Gold, when she won the filly and mare sprint, that was about as sweet a scene in terms of a winner circle, the Bromans, and so many, there were so many New York breeding community and you know, those close to them that were on hand. It was really special. Really nice legacy of success for the Bromans. It's got to be, that's tough. Matt Sims. We'll get Matt Sims in here, and Brian's producing. If you want to feel old, Casey is bringing his daughter Jackson. I think most of you might even remember when Jackson was born. He's taking her to see colleges. Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. Casey told me that. He said, you know what? Can Brian work next week? I'm taking Jackson to see some schools. Unbelievable. She's, I guess, a junior in high school. It's nuts. It is. It craziness that she's not far away from colleges. So they're going on a college tour. It's one of the great you know, one of the great experiences for any, you know, father-daughter, father-son, mother-son, mother-daughter. I guess unless you're Meadow Soprano. And you, your dad takes you. It's one of the great episodes, and I'm not like Nick Tamaro. I'm not like a Sopranos expert or Sopranos groupie. But that one sticks in my mind when Tony takes Meadow to college and right and kills just tremendous. Matt, let me pull out the chart. Matt Sims is going to join us, and I should pull up his Equibase page, and we can confirm. Whether I'm right about that. And by the way, within some of the sequence at Keeneland on Saturday, Parros got bet a little under 3-1, but that was a good call by James Scully. I really leaned on Irish Aces, who ran okay at even money, but not good enough. And Parros, who was prominent throughout, got a good ride by Luis Saez and won that allowance eighth. That was after Matt's race, after the Perryville, and before Emery won the Raven Run. I had a few too many seconds on Saturday in particular. I thought my main squeeze, I tried to, and she ran fine too. She ran good again, the New York bred. Matt Sims joins us on the heels of Saturday's pretty significant upset as Bruna Cini wins the Perryville 28-1. Matt, congratulations to you and Mrs. Fosian.
Oh, thank you so much.
Matt, there's a lot of things, a lot of working parts to this, and you know, first and foremost, you know, you draw in. And when it comes to 7/8, you know, drawing in and wearing the 14 saddle cloth, that's not necessarily a negative.
Absolutely not. No, we had faith that there would be some scratches in there, especially after we saw Bookham Dano entered in the race, that some people might try to dodge him. So coming out of the 12 hole, or 12 hole would have been fine. We got lucky, dropped in a little bit more towards the 9 hole. But we knew from the outside, he had won from the outside before when he broke his maiden going 7/8. So all the confidence was there. The plan worked out. We let the speed go on out there and then catch him. And that's how it all worked out. That's all one. You can stay wide. That's okay. You got a big horse. Once he gets rolling, you'll be tough to beat. So it all worked out. We got lucky. We knew at least the Wednesday before the race that we were going to draw in. So we had been prepping like we were going to run anyways. And it all worked out. We went to the race with so much confidence. And I knew the third start was going to be his best start so far.
Well, wins at First Asking, going 7/8 at Ellis. So, you know, then, you know, part of that scrum, at Churchill in September in the good allowance group, you know, going two turns for the first time, you know, the cutback is such a potent angle.
Oh, absolutely. And somebody gave me the stats that my horse is fired 50% from route to sprint, and I didn't even realize that until Saturday. But one of my buddies, a good handicapper, told me that, and I said, well, hopefully that works today. And it did. And that race at Churchill, he just got green light. Raphael said he just kind of kept asking. He had to go the lead, and he didn't have something to chase. And the horse gets a little displacement when he gets that lead like that. He said he was looking at the starting gate coming down to the wire. Churchill, obviously, big grandstand. The lights were shining across the finish line. And then after the race, he'd watch the gallop out. He galloped out in front of everybody. He just, unfortunate, he was just green that day. Needed the race in that aspect. But we knew going in, we're at home this race, and this was the time to take a shot.
Well, when you say home, I mean, he trains at Keeneland and had turned in a very sharp 5/8. I mean, he'd gone 58-4. He got the bullet a week before getting ready for this.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done that once before. He'd been breezing really well even before his first race. But, yeah, it set up a horse that broke off about 10 lengths in front of him, and it was just plain. Luan just had to track that horse and worked out well, made him come up the inside because you never know how a race is going to plan out. So, no, that worked out great. He did it in hand. Looked like he was galloping. Galloped out 11 and change. So at that point, we knew we were ready to run. He does it so easy, so it didn't worry me that he was going to work fast and have to run a week later because he had plenty of horse left to bounce back after that.
Well, and in fact, he had worked that sharp ahead of a couple of weeks ahead of the try at Churchill. But yeah, now this is an interesting story. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm just looking at the dam. I want to say that wasn't that a horse of Cassie's, our Conquistadora?
My understanding is that actually the owner, Amelia Fogan, she trained that filly, bred her too, and trained. I could be wrong. On that, yeah. Amelia Fogan, she is actually a trainer. She was a trainer for a long time, graded stakes place, multiple graded stakes place trainer, in her right self. And she stepped away from training a couple of years ago and has given me the opportunity to take over her stable, and it's worked out well for her and I. And I appreciate when trainers come to me and want me to train their horse because it means they have a lot of faith in me and understand. So.
Well, you've got a nice resume yourself, and that includes right. That includes working for your dad. Let's fold that in. We'll come back to the horse and what lies ahead. But let's talk about your own experience and you know how old you were when you realized you weren't just going to hang around the barn. You wanted to do it.
At a young age, I've always loved obviously race day. That was always the thing growing up. I'd get mad if my dad or mom, my mom trained too, for a lot of years. And I'd get mad if they wouldn't take me to the races. I get stomping feet and everything. I always knew, well, to get to the race day, basically I had to be there in the mornings. And that was the whole thing. So young age, I always went to the barn in the mornings, made sure, because I always wanted to be part of it. Never knew if I would really take the training aspect of it. Thought about it for a long time, and when I was 18, I took out my assistant's license and kind of dabbled with it, and then started to progress from there. And a couple of years ago, I had some owners come to me and ask if I would eventually break out on my own. So I started that on January 1st, 2023, and it's worked out really well. We've progressed every year, and our goal was at the 2-year mark to make $1 million in earnings, and we're $100,000 short of that right now, a couple months ago. It's working well. We are able to be here at Keeneland and kind of in coexist with my father's stable. We work together, which is great. I have him as a person there to lean on if I have questions and stuff. So he, it's a great situation for me and him to have that and, to keep on progressing each year as you hope. It's working out as a business aspect of it, and the horses and everything, and the clients. I have the best clients in the world, and my progress is not just to grow myself, but to grow them. I've had owners that came to me with one horse, now they got 6 horses. So that's great that they can grow as well, and business is working. The business plan is working as we thought it would.
I love it, and I pulled up your Equibase. I had remembered you won with your first starter, correct?
Yeah, Blue Kentucky, January 1st for Steve Robbins. This is a horse we claimed in November. We claimed him for 20, and he won the 2X in his first start for us, which is really special because Steve was a big supporter, has been a big supporter, is still a big supporter, but was a big supporter before I took my license out. And to get that first win for him with that horse really meant a lot. And that horse has been, he's for a $20,000 claim, I think we made $160,000 with him in earnings, and he's just a good, honest horse. And Steve has grown his stable now, his group of horses, to Baltimore, and bought a nice, beautiful farm in Versailles, Kentucky. And that's the kind of clients you got to have when you first get started to get you, punch you over. You know, you can't just, it's hard to have somebody not to support with the horses, and you got to have that. And I've been blessed with that. Really been blessed with that.
Wow. It only took you, this would, I guess it would have been 106, this was the 107th starter of the career to win a graded stake. And you, I would think you were around, obviously, for Ha Cha Cha and for Sophia, right?
Yeah, Ha Cha Cha. Yep, I was around for that. That was my senior year of high school, and I remember I was with her every step of the way. She won the Pucker Up, the Bourbonette, and then obviously when she won the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup here at Kingland, and then Don't Tell Sophia. I was with her from the day she was purchased at the sale, and then all the way up to when she was sold as a broodmare there. But with the Breeders' Cup run and all that, that was phenomenal. And just to see my dad, how he was to soak it all in and be part of that. But to see his struggles over the years as being a trainer and working the Kentucky circuit, even when the money wasn't that great at Turfway Park, and it's a lot of respect for him and the fellow horsemen that supported us and cheered us on. So it's been great. My dad's had a few others. Palubin, another great stake winner on the grass. And one thing he's taught me is give every horse a fair opportunity. And that goes a long way. A lot of people don't see that. But if every horse gets a fair opportunity, you see some of the horses that claimed, like Hurry Hurry. He's getting ready, prepped for the claim and crown, the jewel. His horse was claimed for 30 first time out. Gave him the fair opportunity, and he's made $235,000 earned. I gave him a fair opportunity to do it right, take the patience. He earns his best race after 60 days layoff and stuff. So that's the way I build my stable, and you have to do that, and especially today's world where the rules have changed of racing, medication rules have changed. You got to take that calm, patience with the horses, and it will all work out if you just give every horse a fair opportunity.
Well, and you mentioned, we've mentioned actually three horses in the barn, and Blue Kentucky, who was your first starter and winner, and obviously now Brunuccini, and Hurry Hurry, the Accelerate colt, that's a four-year-old. And, it's quite impressive, Matt, to have already, you got 100 starters total, 107, and you got three horses that have made six figures or more, which... And yes, the purses are, I don't want to say inflated. I mean, the purses are generous in Kentucky right now, and they'll continue to be under the system. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, to do that in less than two calendar years, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, it is. And it's a lot of hard work that's gone into it. Like I said, with the sport and my team, I have a great team to be able to do that. It really is, and it's just, even though the purses, like you said, are well, but every horse is elevated, and that's what you want. I'm not dealing with in the mischief. I'm not, I don't have the pet for every horse, and that's fine. That's fine. I'm not knocking any of the horses I have in the barn, but that's where it goes back to fair opportunity, it's tough. We're on the major leagues. Kentucky's purses are big, but we are on the major leagues.
Sure.
And it's tough to compete here and win it at 18% clip, and we hit the board at 50%. It's tough. But at least in Kentucky, we do have Belterra. We do have Indiana Grand, or Horseshoe Indiana, sorry, whatever it's named now. And those are the minor leagues. It's like baseball, single A, triple A. And it's nice to have those around. But when you want to win races, you got to do it at the major leagues. And it's tough. It is tough to do that, especially as a young trainer, second year, and you're trying to make it work. So.
Well, you're getting it done, obviously, and this is one of those. This was one of those scenarios that, people sit up and take notice. You win a graded stake at Keeneland and set a stake record too, and that's a good bellwether, obviously. A 99 buyer, we should mention, out of this.
Oh wow, okay, good. I was wondering what his buyer was. Okay, I was
99.
Thinking 96,
so 99.
Okay.
Yep. And really, And we'll look forward. I'm curious what I've got to think. It's probably about a 3 or a 2 on Thoragraph. That are close to a 0, but maybe a 1. But he was. This was an interesting field, Matt, because of you and the Trombetta, Love Me Tender, 2 for 2, and because of Knightsbridge, the same thing. I mean, the lightly raced 3-year-olds at this time of year, you know, they're gonna turn 4 in 90 days, and you know they're maturing, and they're getting, you know, better. I everybody's carrying on about the 3-year-olds that are gonna retire. Well, here are horses, you know, that are, you know, just kind of getting their careers going. And, you know, we'll look forward to them. What are your thoughts and talk about, you know, it's only been 48 hours, but, you know, what do you foresee for him short term and intermediate term?
Yeah, he is a big, strapping, good-looking colt. He looks like a 4-year-old. He's over 17 hands. When we walked in the pack that day, he makes a presence for himself. Like, here I am. And so going against 3-year-olds with more experience didn't bother me physically wise. It's just him needing the race, but I knew he's fast. I'm not one to really take a shot and be 31 unless I know I have opportunity to win. He did put it all together that day. He was a grand looking horse. Like I said, he does it well. A lot of comps going into it. He's come out of the race phenomenal. Looks great. Wasn't tired. Didn't drink much water after the race. So we're just kind of playing it by ear. Go from there. There is a race, the Cherokee Mile at Churchill on December 1st. It's 3 and up. I'd rather try to stay straight 3-year-olds, but it's kind of what we have during that time. And if that goes well, possibly the Malibu at Santa Anita. That's on the December the 26th. So it gives him about 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks in between. Around a month between that race and that. So that star stretch, if that doesn't work out, possibly something at Oakland, maybe the Tinsel, something like that. He can go a little bit stretched out. I like the way Machado got him to relax a little bit more and was able to rate him pretty well. And that maybe we can stretch out a little bit further. But that's something we'll take with time. We're just going to take it race by race right now. But like you said, he is lightly raced. A lot of the 3-year-olds, that's my point, to kind of take a shot now because a lot of the 3-year-olds have been either coming off of a layoff from May and March or been running all summer long. So we have a fresh horse that's got a couple races under his belt, and we know he's fast. So that's the whole point. We've taken a shot. Like he can run all winter, and if he needs a little break during the summer, we'll give it. He starts facing his race out a little bit more. The ultimate goal next year would be the Breeders' Cup Mile. I know it's far stretched. I know he's only run 3 times, but he gives you that feel, that look, the presence, the class, everything about him. I've been around some nice horses, as you mentioned, a few of them, and he gives you that. And he always has. He's been a working project, as in just kind of teaching him, just training-wise, as in swats and leads and stuff like that. But he's done everything like you're supposed to. There's more to him. And we're just going to take it day by day, race by race, and hopefully our end goal is a year from now is to be at Del Mar. So we'll try in 2 turns eventually again and see how that sets up.
Well, the couple of things that I've got to follow up on, you talk about how big he is, and, of course, he's a son of Dortmund, and mm-hmm. Dortmund himself was an oversized colt. And as it happens, Brunicini becomes Dortmund's first stake winner, and I don't know if anybody had mentioned that.
Yeah, I actually looked it up after the race. I said, I wonder how many he's had. And Amelia Fogan, she claimed his full sister about a month ago, a little over a month ago at Churchill for $16,000, and gambling that this would work out with the Perryville, and it did. And that filly was his third highest earner. So now Brunicini is his highest earner as a sire, and so it's kind of all world. And Amelia Fogan, she her whole Brumaire band is based around the Dortmund family. She sold Flower Alley. I think there's a couple others that real nice
wow.
that she had too. Yeah, so she's you know, she has her niche and how she does it, and it's worked out for her. So
really nice. Well, you know, Dortmund, of course, died of colic, I think in South Korea, and this is obviously, you know, he's obviously seemingly ahead of the curve a little bit. I mean, given how big he is, you've got to fold in the Luan Machado story in here as well, Matt. Matt Sims with us off of Brunaccini's stake record performance in the Perryville. And I think it's safe to say Luan had an eventful week.
He did. He did. I'm friends with Luan. We're close, and his agent, Corey Pruitt. And I was in that race, or my dad was, sorry. My dad was in that race with him when he made his mistake. And I saw him immediately afterwards, and he was white. He didn't realize what he'd done until he was pulling up. He's not the type of guy to do that. And I felt so bad for him. And just tried to give him some spirits because I knew I had him on a horse on Friday, going a mile and an eighth. So I was trying to build confidence up. And then Saturday morning, I saw him, his eyes, he was happy. He was back to his normal Luan self. And I knew he was in, he had gotten that behind him. Everything was settled with the stewards and everybody. I know the public and the gamblers are probably still upset with him, but he was smiling ear to ear. I think it was the first, second race I saw him. He said, "Everybody can bet today because we'll get our money back." So that was good. Yeah, he picked up the mount. Bale Arano had a ride one for Chris Hartman. Sorry, I forgot the horse's name, but he's a well-respected horse. Coming off a stake win, and Bale Arano rides a lot for Hartman, and I understood. And Luan has been with me and watched his horse breeze. And I told Luan, I said, if Bejarano can't ride, you're the backup man. And he's always won his opportunity. And I called his agent, Corey Pruitt, and said, you know, hey, I'm going to need a rider for that stake. And Corey hustled it. And he came and breezed the horse twice and got along with the horse and knew it was the right move at that time. And even though he had that bad week, I didn't have any lack of confidence in Luan. He's always rode good for me. I think we went at a pretty good percentage together over a lot of starts. So, yeah, it worked out. It really did. Luan, good friend, comes back and wins on Chop Chop yesterday. Now he's having a good meet. He went from having a bad meet to a good meet real quick. So I'm very happy for him. Now he looks like he's going to go to California ride next. So Luan's going to have a very eventful next couple weeks. I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, the whole thing is unfortunate. And you know, there was no way to just, you know, shrug it off, frankly. I mean, and it's, you know, it's a, we talked with Tony Black last Thursday, the day after, and, you know, Tony, there isn't a jockey anywhere. I was at Aqueduct on Thursday, Matt, and Bruce Levine and Phil Linguini, as we call him, and Phil was talking about George Velasquez on a three-turn race, you know, pulling up the first time past the wire,
Somebody, Shoemaker did it in the 1957
well,
Derby.
That's the most famous. I mean, that
yeah.
one. That one.
You know,
that
he did
legendary.
It. There's one finish line at Churchill.
At Churchill.
One,
yeah, that's true.
16 holes. So, yeah. I've seen it done in Oaklawn. I have. I think Rosario did it short not long ago.
Well, at Oaklawn, in fact, one of the listeners sent in Don Brumfield made the mistake, and Pat Day caught him. This is not a new phenomenon, but there's no explaining it away, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, jocks want to be, they want to be respected as, you know, professional athletes. They gotta take, you know, the critique when something like this happens.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta take, when you mess up, you gotta accept your consequences of it. And he has, and he took it, and he obviously is devastated by his mistake. I know he is, but he came back and, like I said, to have the weekend that he had, two wins on Saturday, I believe, but two wins yesterday as well.
Yep.
and two great stakes at Keeneland, which is tough. I mean, Juan rode for my dad at Mahoney Valley not long ago. He won a $5,000 race for me last year at Belterra. And in a year's time, him and I want to say we've kind of rode this roller coaster together, and it's been really fun to have him there. Galeno, now he's riding, and Doug Collins has really supported him, and that's great, and stuck by his side. But to have him and Corey to ride this roller coaster together, like, we've had our ups and downs, but we've won a lot of races together, and I have faith in him. And every time I put him on the back of a horse, and he's always given me 100%, so I can't complain about that. But just to have that, literally from Mowing Valley, Belterra, now he's winning great stakes at Keeneland, and just not very long ago.
Well, this was a nice story immediately when I was over at Far Hills for the jump racing, and when I saw that you had won this, I was looking forward to the conversation. Had your dad on many times, and Ha Cha Cha and Sophia were two favorites. And the fact is, you know, you've been around good horses, and so you know when you got a good one, and I think that message came across loud and clear on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I've always I try to pick my spots right, and I have an owner. He joked when after the race with me, he said, "You're right. Whenever you say you're gonna, if you're a long shot and you're there, and you don't scratch, you got a shot." I said, "Well, I try to think so." So, it all worked out. It's well. It's going to be fun to see how the horse Brunicini develops from here on. He's like you said, lightly raced, and if we can do well on December 1st or maybe find an allowance race. You never know about me. I'm at an interim allowance race somewhere. He is by Dorman's, which he is Maryland sired. He is eligible for Maryland sired allowance race.
Yeah, there you go.
And don't think I haven't looked at their conditions.
That's it. Listen, find the spots. Find the spots you need.
Yeah, we might have to knock out that 2X, you know.
I don't blame you.
I like using my conditions, and like a horse like Hurry Hurry, I've used my conditions pretty well with him and a couple others, but I do like doing that. So there, anything's on the table, but I believe our ultimate goal is the Cherokee Mile at Churchill Downs on December the 1st.
Wow. Matt, I'm delighted for you, and well done. Continued success. First visit, I'm sure, of many.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait till you call me again. That means I'm doing well.
I love it. Matt Sims, everybody, and his dad, Phil, I'm sure is just wildly proud of Matt pulling this off. This was it's a lot easier, honestly. You know, sometimes you go back and you look at PPs and you say, I still can't see how this horse won. But that's not the case with this. The turn back was part of that formula, and horse that works out over that surface at Keeneland, get those two sub 59 bullets. Yeah, I'm embarrassed because I didn't even look. And it's funny, right? Because Locked, now that I think about it, Matt's right. Locked was coming out. We knew that Locked was coming out, and that would have gotten Save the Trees in. And I hadn't heard that. I know West Saratoga came out too, right? It was the other one of the other ones that came. Who else? Houday and Dilger, and Save the Trees didn't run either. Anyway, so it ended up as a 9-horse field. So that's one of the challenges of, you know, reevaluating fields after scratches. I didn't get it. I personally didn't. I apologize for those that follow along with me, but I didn't get a chance. We were already at Far Hills when the changes came out, so I didn't. I'm sure you saw it. It still said you know, pre-scratches, I never was able to make any changes, right? Because Cherie came out, too, of she scratched taking candy out of the allowance, that third-level allowance that Peros won. Yeah. Brunicini, what a nice story. And we should really look after, follow up with Mrs. Fosian, too. Emily Fosian. It's a cool story. Who am I thinking? There didn't Cassie had a horse that was very similar named to this is our Conquistadora. Was it our Conquistadori with a Y maybe? Right? Didn't Cassie have one close to that? I'm almost positive. You know how the you know the names stick in your head. All right, top of the hour, exactly the top of the hour, actually. Jack Fisher, I'm looking forward to this because I this has got to be as satisfying. I mean, Jack has won. I mean, he's as decorated. He's as decorated a horseman as we've got, and certainly on the chase front, but. You know, Jack Fisher, if Jack Fisher wanted to be involved in the flat game, he you know, could be just as successful in the Shepherd Voss realm, you know, training both on the flat and over barriers. This win, though, by snap decision, I mean, this was, let's be honest, this was a long time coming, and yeah, getting him. I know the connections have been. It's been very important for them to have him recognized as a you know, as a champion, and he will be now. There's no stopping this. He is your champ. And I want to pull up, actually, I've got the, the last 12, PPs. So I want to go to the formulator and pull up his entire, here we go. And pull up his entire page. And be able to go back and see everything. Because and he's going to run one more time this year. And in fact, Jack will tell us everything we need to know. Jack Fisher joins us 48 hours after snap decision. Jack, is it fair to say he refused to lose?
Yeah, I thought he was definitely beaten coming up the stretch. And he came back in, came back and got him. And I think an older horse, he just does that now. I mean, he used to sum it up on him, but now he waits for the other horses. He did that at Nashville, too.
He got past. Talk a little bit about the point in the race when basically he took over. And
well, he got past like a 16th of a mile to go, and usually when right. a horse sees that, they're done. And then he came back on just before the wire and won.
You know, there's been so much to consider about this, Jack, because he's been a little unlucky. The argument could be made that he, you know, even whatever his record, that he has been the best. Steeplechase horse in training the last 3+ years. So to get this done, and especially because he couldn't run in New York this year, you know, to get this done, it's got to be incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, the race at Foxfield was just a prep. And on soft ground, I thought he did that quite well. Luckily, I had 4 horses in the race. All the other jockeys just snap a lead. And you can go forth from home.
Talk about the ground.
Pace down there.
Yeah. Explain to everybody, because I heard you in the interview with Richie, you acknowledged that you don't really have a qualm about the 10-year-old rule in New York, and that you don't necessarily think it's a negative or a bad idea.
No, because you look at horses running on the flat, and when they get to 10, they're pretty much done. Even I went back and looked at 4-star Dave. It's nice to have the older horses run because they get a fan base. But even 4-star Dave, when he was like 10, he was basically done. I don't think he won a race as a 10-year-old.
Well, and here you are, and here's Snap, and he's, I mean, this is probably, in some ways, it's his best year.
In some ways, yes. I mean, he won at Far Hills. This is the first time Far Hills has come up firm. I mean, unfortunately for Snap, we had COVID 1 year.
That's right.
So no race. And then to come back, you know, on firm ground. The firm ground was our type of ground. Unfortunately, he's 10.
And he doesn't. He certainly doesn't look it. And I mean, part of this, part of what makes this a fun story is, you know, his Phipps breeding. And you know that part of it, and the way in which you've managed him. I mean, it's he deserved. You know, he deserved that firm ground. I think that's that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Last year, you knew last year, and you were so. I think you beat yourself up a little bit about running him last year because you knew he wasn't going to take to the ground.
Well, last year I didn't want to run him, but the owner said run him. The owner insisted on running him, so I said okay. But I gave the rider instructions, if he's not handling the ground, just pull him off, I'll run him next weekend. And luckily we had a race the following weekend that he could run. Now he carried a house, but, you know, so what?
Well, and that was one of the advantages, too, for him on Saturday, right? Level weights.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and with horses like Snap and Goodnight Shirt, I just ran them in races like that. You know, where they were level weights. I hate giving away 20-pound slots.
That's a lot. It's a lot to ask a horse.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's when they break. Is when a horse like Snap will give his all, no matter what weight he's carrying, and do more than he should do. And then something breaks.
Hmm. Well, this will solidify and get that elusive championship. And you know, I know that kind of thing doesn't necessarily mean as much to you, but
it does. Oh. It means a lot. I mean, last year I went to the Eclipse Awards and he lost.
Yeah,
and I thought he should have won last year. I mean, I actually got the handicap, and I said, look, Merrymaker should be number one, should be top weight. I said, you might not think it's the best horse in the country. I might not think it's the best horse in the country, but the voters think it's the best horse in the country. I got back nice try, but anyway.
Well, the next January in at the Breakers, there won't be any long faces. Let's put it that way.
No, it's cool to have a 10-year-old win the Eclipse Awards. I mean, I think it's good for racing.
Agreed.
And you know the breeding of Snap. I mean, he's really well bred. I mean, the dam is wonderful.
Salute the Unbridled Mare, and I know that when I put up a little video of the finish, and hailed him as there'll be no denying Snap decision. The first person that responded to it was Allison McGahey.
Yeah.
She was like, "Yay, Snap! Love Snap!" And
yeah.
There's a lot of people that. that are fans and that have, you know, come to be fans with him. And then you delighted everybody, Jack, by saying, you know, not only will he finish the year, you know, in Carolina, but that you have every anticipation of bringing him back for the same kind of schedule next year.
Well, I think that we'll try the Iroquois one more time.
Okay, good.
And I think we'll retire him after that. That's what I'm
okay.
Thinking. Just to see if we can win the Iroquois four times, which nobody's done before.
There's a great goal. Well, he's already a Hall of Famer.
Yes. So I mean, to me, he's probably one of the best horses I've trained.
That was a follow up question. Where do you put him in your amazing career?
Well, it's pretty hard to beat Goodnight Shirt, who won 8 grade ones in a row.
Yes.
But that was back when we had 8 grade ones in a row. We don't have that today. I mean, Keeneland got mad at me because I ran him at Atlanta, which was equal weights. But we had 2 grade ones on the same weekend.
that would make it tough.
Yeah. I mean, an easy choice for me.
And in fact, you know, one thing I wanted to do yesterday, Jack, that I didn't, or Saturday, I started to look up what number Grand National win is that for you?
I think I just had, I don't think Scorpion Answer won that. I think Goodnight Shirt won it twice, and Snap obviously didn't. And I had another horse, too, Ridley. He didn't either. He won the Carolina Cup, but he didn't win the Grand National.
So, because the Iroquois, you've won more Iroquois.
Yes.
Way more Iroquois. But, what do you have, like eight or nine? It's some crazy number.
Yeah. Well, and I think Scorpion Answer won it twice. I think Goodnight Shirt won it twice. And I probably have some others in there, too.
And I'm just, there we go. Just
Mr. Hot Stuff won.
Mr. Hot Stuff. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And again, he was a really well-bred horse.
Of course.
I am looking for the breed.
Now, and there it is. So, yeah, this was your first, this was the first in 6 years. Yeah, that was, that. Well, six runnings, because, of course, we missed the one in 2020. Which took away a chance for Snap. Well, he's a perfect fit in this list of winners. And you know, talk about Graham and his part in this too, Graham Waters.
Well, Graham is out here, so we're galloping this morning, and Graham's out every day galloping. And I think that gives us a big leg up. He knows the horse. I mean, he rides Snap 6 days a week. I ride him 7. But he rides him pretty much every day, and same with, you know, the other horses too. And I think that gives him a big leg up because he knows the horse.
Now, he absolutely, the timing and the way in which in the deepest stretch, I mean, he was headed, what, 70 yards out? 50 yards out?
I think he came back 50 yards out.
There you go.
But he was headed like a 16th of a mile from home. He was third and came back on, which I thought was very impressive for him.
Unbelievable. And if, for those that haven't mentioned it, he is he's now 16 for 27 with 7 seconds.
And 27 pretty much all the seconds were me using the race.
Oh, as a, there you go, as a, oh yeah, the off, you're saying, on the,
I don't
that's
want to put
true.
Over the top for, you know, the goal this year was, the goal this fall was the Grand National, the goal this spring was Iroquois. I don't care where he finishes before that, just,
right.
I don't want to use him up.
In fact, Jack, the only two off-the-board finishes in his jump career have, they both came at Far Hills in the National under yielding or less condition. That's the only thing that they used to say, what? Round Table, the only thing that could stop Round Table was a wet track, and the only thing that could stop Snap is soft going.
Yep. Well, I think Snap is a true flat horse. American ground. Usually our ground is quite firm. And on the track, I mean, kind of the rains like it did last year at Far Hills, they don't run.
Yeah. Well, and on that topic, were you as surprised as how well the runner-up, the Irish horse, ran, Galvin?
I was surprised. I thought Galvin was a little bit less class than, he was years ago. But, years ago he won at Cheltenham. But now he's kind of over the top. That's what I thought. But obviously he likes the ground too.
Yeah, I think probably even Gordon Elliott probably was a little surprised because they had made out like, they were worried that it was going to be too firm for him. But
no, he liked it.
Yeah,
I ran an Irish horse up there in the maiden race that won.
Let's talk about him. Yeah.
Well, I was surprised that he liked the hard ground, the firm ground.
Because he
ran at Shawan Downs, which was quite soft, and was second there. And that was just a gimme race.
And we're talking about Manila Juke. This came in the McDynamo, the new McDynamo maiden stake. And this was a terrific race as well. That horse of Patrick Lewis's, Moonshine Time, who was the most experienced of the there's a couple of flat experienced types, but in terms of jumps, Moonshine Time, pretty experienced coming in. And he looked like a winner. And Graham and Manila Juke ran him down to win by a half. That was a nice performance.
Well, that was somewhat of Graham's plan, was to wait until after the last stunt there with him. But usually Snap's decision, after when he's in front, he opens up on him. And as a 10-year-old, he doesn't do that. He waits for him, I think. We're going to try the next race and put him in behind.
Well, he'll finish, Snap will finish the season at Carolina. And
you've got to take my hat off to Carolina. That used to be the kind of the race that win the Eclipse Awards. Now this year it hopefully isn't, but anyway.
There's not going to be any Lucy in the football, Jack. They're not going to yank the football away from him now.
Well, I don't think they can when they did the horse that won the Grand National, I forget his name, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
The import? Hewick. Yeah.
Hewick.
Yeah.
Just because he won the Grand National. I'm one that doesn't think it should be, as it is a lot on the flat too, that it's who wins the big race at the end of the year, not who wins in the spring.
No, agreed. I mean, the summer between the Iroquois and the Grand National and the New York Grade Ones. I mean, and sprinkle in the Temple Guathme and
The Temple Guathme is a Grade Two.
Yes,
that I use as a prep a lot, even though it doesn't look like it, but I do.
Let me slip in too, Jack. Sebastopol ran okay. I mean, he was sort of chasing in here most of the way.
Sebastopol ran well. I thought he missed two down the backside pretty badly, and that cost him being there at the end.
And you also hit the board. Yeah.
We had my horse in the 4-year-old race miss a couple down the backside or just jump slowly, and that cost him the race, I believe.
That was Smart Uncle, right, who went favored?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's actually a horse that's the horse that you had brought to at Kentucky Downs. Almost broke the maiden at Kentucky Downs.
He was the only horse all day that was in front at the head of the stretch and got beaten.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Jose did a wonderful job. Jose actually had a horse running back to Kentucky Downs the next week. And Jose said he didn't get anybody in. Mine was on the AE, so he's not going. And I said, well, you're not going, I'm not going.
Well, the that part of it, you didn't run in, right? You didn't run anything in the in the 2 mile race.
No.
Well, that Forbes is going to be that's been a nice addition to the day. I'm trying to think of I guess in the Foxbrook, Jimmy Dan, right? Didn't
Jimmy Dan was a nice horse. He just didn't get cover and just was too rank all the way.
And then he pulled up, right? He left the course.
Then he fell. He fell.
Oh, he fell. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't Sting is the horse that beat Manila Juke that was in that race, but he's an Irish horse, and he obviously likes soft ground.
Well, luckily, knock on wood, other than Harry Beswick, everybody came away okay.
Everybody came away good. I think somebody made a comment to there was some flat riders standing on the sidelines. If you don't fall, you're not in the game.
And then what was amazing was that here was Harry, they wrapped him up and they had the ice bag and had him in a sling. He's got a broken collarbone, and yet he spent the afternoon. He wanted to talk. I know he wanted to.
He wanted a ride. He wanted a ride.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. Just amazing. Yeah. Just amazing. But I know he, before the National, he wanted to talk to Patty O'Hanlon about how to ride Noah.
Yeah.
Which just shows you what the kind of dedication these
guys
have.
Well, no rider wants to take off on it. It's like the Breeders' Cup for us.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, nobody wants to take off on the Breeders' Cup.
Well, Jack Fisher with us, and the Hall of Famer, and the soon-to-be Hall of Fame snap decision. The soon-to-be next year, he'll be crowned in January as the champion. It's been overdue, and he's run like a champion. He's jumped like a champion for 3+ years. Jack, just fantastic. You also
more than that, more like 6 years.
Yeah, that's right. I'm underplaying how long. And I saw that you won at Laurel on Friday too.
I won at Laurel with a horse that we ran in New York. That it was one I entered at Kentucky Downs. I didn't get in.
Mission
and
North.
And I knew, I thought he would win at Laurel. I just didn't want him to win before Kentucky Downs.
Well, not for that money, right? I mean, for what?
I think I took that horse to Saratoga and it rained that day and came off the turf, so I took him home.
That's a Northwoods homebred.
Yeah.
That looks like, tell you what, that's a 3-year-old that looks like he's got a future.
Well, the thing that's good about him is he's Virginia certified and Maryland certified. Maryland bred.
Can't beat it, right?
So he has lots of opportunities down here.
Well, and then you get all these checks come in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get those checks.
No, you get different kind of reward, Jack.
Yeah.
Well, fabulously well done, and I watched the interviews and I could see the satisfaction in your face, just how pleased you were.
Yeah. Wonderful horse to train. It's nice to have horses like that around. I mean, and again, I look at horses. Remember, I used to look for $25,000 horses. Now I look at $100,000 horses. It just helps getting, more to the top, as it does on the flat, too. Then when somebody kind of looks like they'll be a decent trainer, they get better horses.
As Brian was calling you to bring you on, I did say that that if you wanted to, in the Tom Voss, Jonathan Shepherd mold, I mean, if you had spent the majority of your career you know, plying it against flat horses, you'd be a Hall of Famer that way too.
Oh, we'd like to think that.
Well, I don't think there's much doubt, Jack.
All right.
Can't thank you enough, and couldn't be happier for everybody.
All right.
Jack Fisher, folks, and snap decision. Tremendous. And from a, you know, from the breeding standpoint, and, you know, Jack, that's funny. You know, started with, said, looking for $25,000 horses, and he's up to $100,000. But there's, you know, that's whatever level you're at along the way. And I'm just pulling up, I want to pull up Salute and Snap in much the same way, because Mr. Hot Stuff's name came up, of course, who's a brother of Tiz now. But Snap is a half to Fire Away, the Warfront of Shug's, and Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker was by Pulpit, Fire Away by Warfront. Vigilante's Way, too. Forgot about Vigilante's Way. The Medaglia d'Oro. And there's actually, there's a two-year-old, Gwemma Gutty, a Sky Mesa colt that has yet to start. And then there's the three-year-old flatter filly, Philanthropy, who's 0-4. But this is a lot like Mr. Hot Stuff. I mean, I obviously Snap had, you know, had all these other grade one wins, but Mr. Hot Stuff, I think the Grand National was his first grade one, because it was a big deal that he had all the siblings were grade one winners. And hey, I'm just pulling up Mr. Hot Stuff. It was, there we go. Right? How, here we go. 15th in the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, then his career, he was always cut out to be Owen Hardy, right? Owen Hardy trained him on the flat. Actually, the Smithwick was his first grade one. And then the Grand National. 2017. Boy, that feels longer ago than that. My God. Right? Yeah. By Tiz Now out of Sweet Damsel. That's right. What the damn. Turkoman Daughter. All right, let's take a break. Bottom of the hour. Plenty to do. Second half at the races.
Specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing. until now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Just minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, you'll find GMP Farm, a revolutionary state-of-the-art equine therapy and rehabilitation facility offering the most advanced equipment and knowledgeable staff to care for your equine athlete. From oxygen therapy and laser treatments to thermal imaging, dry salt room, and cryotherapy treatment, all alongside a 7/8 mile Tapita training track. GMP Farm is revolutionizing equine care. To see a full list of services and book your horse's rejuvenation session, visit gmpfarm.net today.
Please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
PA Bred, I think we've built a brand at this point.
It's excitement at every step.
Roses for Deborah just set a new track record.
On average, for the past decade, Pennsylvania paid over $28 million a year in breeders' awards, restricted races, and owner bonuses. Plus, PA Bred shine on the world's biggest stage. Just three states have bred more Breeders' Cup winners. Learn more at PABred.com.